in. It is a Friday afternoon live stream. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Jerry Hamilton and Rod Babers on Texas football here, talking a little Texas sports, recruiting news, a lot of it happening right now. And man, Jerry, last night, Josiah Sharma, the big defensive lineman who's set to announce his decision at 2 o'clock Central, so about 45 minutes from now, had told coaches from two different schools that it would be Texas. Today, about an hour ago, it looks like Oregon has come back into the picture, and now the Ducks may be.
And look, he'll announce in about an hour. So we'll see what he gets to the podium and says. It could, you know, it could be Oregon. Like you said last night, Bobby, it was going to bed at two schools. We're told it was going to be Texas. And about an hour and a half ago, you start hearing some Oregon chatter. And now we'll see what he does in about 45 minutes to an hour.
He is announcing on 24/7 Sports live stream. We'll actually break in and let y'all know what happens in that situation. Texas also waiting on the decision of Dejon Lee, the cornerback out of Southern California. He looks like he's headed to Alabama, though. He announces at about half past the hour, so in about 15 minutes or so now as well. Jerry, you know, take us through this kind of, I would say, wow. I mean, very odd recruitment of Josiah Sharma, because it's not that it's unexpected. It's just Oregon was thought to be third place in this category, if not fourth. I mean, look, Washington thought they had a better chance than Oregon at some point in this. And today, it looks like it might be Oregon instead of Texas. Take us through the whole process of his recruitment so people get a sense of that.
Yeah, so Josiah Sharma was committed to Washington when Kalen DeBoer and their GM Courtney Morgan were there at Washington. Then when they took the Alabama job, Sharma decommits from Washington. Johnny Nanson's hired at Texas, got Texas in on it. Johnny Nanson did a great job getting Texas in on that. Then Kenny Baker's hired at Texas, obviously. Sharma's been on campus at Alabama three or four times since Kalen DeBoer and Courtney Morgan headed to Tuscaloosa. Texas has had him on campus twice. He took an official visit to Texas June 7th through 9th. Oregon got him on campus the 14th through 16th. Then Alabama had the last official visit last weekend. Coming out of that official visit, I think the Bama side and the Texas side, it was thinking it's going to be one of them, one of them, one of them. Oregon was hanging around the rim, but spot thought to not be the choice. And then, like you said last night, looked like Texas was going to be the choice based on the colleges recruiting him and what Sharma was telling them. Seemed to have changed a little bit this morning. Oregon's got some confidence. We'll see what happens here in roughly 45 minutes when he announces his decision. Oregon may have made the big late play here, but we'll see what the kid announces. It's Texas is still fighting. Texas hasn't given up. And even wherever he commits, you're not going to give up. We'll see. Oregon seems to have made the big late last night, this morning push.
Very interesting. Rod, you've been involved in recruitments as a recruit, et cetera. And NIL is definitely a different animal. I think Jerry and I, who covered it for 30 plus years, understand that as well as anybody. But you've been actually on the other end of this as a recruit. You know, you're trying to make your mind up, and then something gets thrown on the table at the 11th hour that completely changes your mind. I mean, is that just what it's like? Is this more like, in some ways, pro football free agency, maybe a little bit?
I think it all depends on the individual, right, and what they value. I think some guys are fine being in a certain neighborhood of NIL as long as the other things add up, whether that be academics or whether that be the coach you really love or the situation, school you always want to go to. When you infuse the free market into college sports like this, there's no doubt, man, it's going to play a huge role in decision-making, influence decision-making of young guys. And I can't speak on it because as a young guy that age, I was never offered, you know, that those types of figures. I was never offered any figures. Honestly, be truthful. I must have not been that good. I've heard about these $100 handshakes. I will be honest with you guys. You know, I tell y'all, I never got a damn thing. Like, I never got anything. I got a couple of times somebody like bought me some meals. So and I got a couple of meals, I think. You know, but anytime there's something big, I never got anything like that. I would have taken it. I know that. I'd have taken that. No question. I never got offered anything like that. So, but yeah, man, I can't imagine being offered, generational money that could potentially transform the entire outlook of your family's finances. Like I don't know what I'd do. And thank God I'm from a lower middle class to middle class family. So, we wasn't rich or anything, but money didn't drive all of my decisions like that. But some people aren't that lucky, aren't that blessed, man. It's a dire situation. I mean, they're on the poverty line potentially. Somebody offers you some, and I'm not saying that this young man, that's the case, but somebody offers you some money like that, you got to take the money. And that's, I think, for a lot of guys right now, that's influencing their decision. And Oregon, you talk about the sugar daddies. I mean, Texas got a lot of sugar daddies and sugar mamas too. We can keep up with anybody in the country.
Ask A&M about that this weekend.
Exactly.
Hey, I got a couple of thoughts there. Yeah. Texas is, let me just say this in recruiting. Texas has been on the phone with people in the Sharma circle within the last 20 minutes. We think it's going to be Oregon. We'll let him announce his decision. The other thing is, if Rod was coming up in today's day and age of NIL with social media, Rod would be he'd be waking up, stretching the hamstrings. He'd be getting Jerome Sapp to say, take my 4.29 40. And I post it on social media. Then he goes and runs a 4.28 at the Nike or Under Armour camp. And NIL flowing, baby.
Hey, I like that. There you go. Hey, blueprint, baby. Hey,
amidst all of this, guys, we're worried. We're all talking about the future of Texas football, potentially with Josiah Sharma, maybe Dijon Lee, these guys that we're following on recruiting. We've got actually somebody joining us now that's watching the current aspect of Texas football. CJ Vogel joining us from the Manning Passing Academy. Live right now. CJ, you were out there. I've seen some of the videos that you got with Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers. Tell us what you got over there, bud.
Yeah, it was really cool getting to talk to both of them. Of course, there's a number of really talented quarterbacks out here, Jackson Arnold, Connor Wegman, Jalen Milroe. I just said hello to him. It's been a minute since I last saw him at the All-American Bowl Combine down in San Antonio when he and Jaden Blue were lighting things up back in the day. But getting to see these guys throwing in person gives you an understanding of just – the intricacies of being a college quarterback. And of course, for Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers coming out here to be coached and kind of tutored a bit by Eli and Peyton, it means a lot to those guys. And of course, I got to speak with both of them. We'll have some great videos coming up later on Texas Football. A nice 5.5-6 minute interview with Quinn should be coming out later tonight. But he's really excited about this 2024 Texas football team. I asked him, what's the big theme of this team? What is it about this 2024 team that gets you excited? He said he only had one word: speed. And I think that's a theme that we've all kind of echoed since the beginning of the spring football season. But Quinn's talked about it. He's excited for it. And going into 2024 with kind of that excitement around the SEC, Quinn's excited. And I was really intrigued again to hear what he had to say today. Of course, being tutored a little bit by some of these guys out here and some of the camp counselors out here as well. Really cool deal. I'm really excited for this Manning Passing a camp opportunity. And really cool time. I think you'll all enjoy it this evening with Quinn.
Hey, so, Rod, hold on one second, Jerry. Rod, you look a little jealous.
I am jealous. Well, yeah, we all are. We're all jealous of CJ right now, man, hanging out with football royalty and getting to watch some of the best QBs in the country up close, live and in person. I think it's great. And thank you, CJ, honestly, for putting in the work, brother. You've been working hard out there. We appreciate the content.
Rod, do you have any questions for him?
I want to know, how does Quinn look physically? Physically, what did the frame? He's going through a lot of, changes physically. A lot of NFL scouts want to see him, put on a little bit more mass. Maybe some muscle. What does his frame look like right now?
He does look thicker in a good way, right? I think he might have been a little bit too big year one, year two, might have a little bit too small. I think he's found a really positive middle ground right now for his health. Of course, that was one of the big themes coming into the year. I think he played last year around 198. You don't see many NFL quarterbacks at that weight. And, of course, I think that played into his decision to come back to Texas for another season. He looks healthy. He didn't say what number he was up to, but he said he has been putting in a lot of work in the weight room, kind of getting his nutrition right. That's been a big theme of his since he's been on campus, but he's certainly added to his frame right now. And when the Texas roster updates, I'll be really excited to see what that actual number is.
Jerry, yeah, what do you have for him, buddy?
I was told Quinn's between 208 and 210. That was last week. Ooh. The goal is to be 215 at the start of the season, which I think he can get to. So 208, 210 right now. Hey, CJ, I wanted to ask you this. A guy like Jalen Milroe, some of these guys, I don't know if you saw Arch Isidore Newman in high school, but obviously I didn't. He looks a lot different, even though he was still well put together. Some of the guys that you saw in high school versus now, how much change have you seen physically? And Milroe looks, I mean, obviously, Jeevan Jackson, Arter, all the kids, talk about how much they look different physically. And then maybe even anything you note, I mean, Jalen Milroe, you know, that's obvious.
Yeah, no, Jalen looks like a tank, right? And he looks really impressive physically. I actually told him, I was like, hey, man, you know, I covered you briefly when you were committed to Texas. We talked about the All-American Bowl Combine. He said, oh, yeah, I was a young kid then. I was like, you were. And he goes, a lot's changed. I'm excited. And going into this year with Kalen DeBoer, he was talking about it. You know, he thinks he fits well into that scheme. I also got to cover, you know, Jackson Arnold, who's now at Oklahoma, obviously, out of Denton Geyer. Again, very similar kind of situation. Jackson never really, you know, stepped into a room and draw eyes from his physical standpoint. I think now you see him in the weight room a little bit more. You see that physical presence right now. I had posted a photo yesterday about Connor Wegman as well, and some of the comments were, "Ooh, it looks like he's gained about 20 pounds." So the year in, we talk about it all the time with offensive linemen, you know, some of these linebackers as well, in terms of guys that you see the physical change. I think quarterbacks are a little bit slower, but whenever you see them for the first time and over a several year kind of time period, it really stands out, just the actual work that they do put in the weight room. I talked with Arch Manning earlier today as well. He's like, yeah, Trey Owens, we've seen a tremendous change in his physical body shape since he arrived first on campus in the winter. I'm excited to see what his ceiling is at the end of the day. He lit it up in the spring. He can spin it pretty well, but getting that body right for Trey is going to be very important. And right now he's taking all the steps necessary to get where he wants to be.
All right, CJ, thank you for checking in with us from the Manning, live from the Manning Passing Academy. We'll get to you later tonight as well when you have that report on Quinn. CJ, take care of yourself, buddy. Thanks for stepping by.
We need to challenge CJ. With your camera, get as close to you as you can to the strongest arm out route. Just got get it. A video of it. Don't get dotted in the forehead. I've done this before. Get as close to it as you can so you can hear the ball whistle on video.
It does.
Challenge accepted, Jerry. I'll get on.
Love it.
Does. Thanks, guys.
Luckily, DJ Ungulele's not there because you would definitely get hit. So I think we got a little more accuracy here.
I hope I'm safe. What is about 20 rows up from here? So I'll get a little bit closer for these videos. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Take care, CJ.
You have a good one. No, the first time I heard a football hum was Sims. I had never heard. I didn't realize that was a real thing, and I heard it once, and that dude had a cannon. I mean, you could hear it. That kind of as it was getting closer to you. Yeah, no, it's a real thing. If the arm is
all right, Rod, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and read a advertisement from one of a place that you and I really enjoy going to together over at Flat Creek Estate Winery. Neil Bull and the guys over there, Sean Roll, everybody.
Yep. It is a great place. I would encourage anybody, if you want to kind of a getaway with your significant other or a perfect date, it's a great place. But also, it's actually home of one of the most awarded wines in the state of Texas, folks. That's right. Right there at Flat Creek Estate Winery, just minutes from downtown Austin. And they've won award after award this year for their vintage wine, Super Texan. And I can vouch for it personally. We got a couple of bottles actually in the house right now because wifey loves it. And it's fantastic. You can get it at your local Specs right now. Super Texan, now available available there, or you can go online at flatcreekestate.com to find out more about their fantastic selection of wines. Of course, Flat Creek, also a gorgeous venue with barbecues and wine tastings every single weekend. It's perfect for a day date with your significant other or just a getaway for a fantastic weekend. Go check out flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. It's Flat Creek Estate Winery. Or you can go to Specs and go check out the Super Texan for yourself. Also, I recommend the Rosé. It's great, especially when it's hot outside. Very refreshing. So wifey and I are big fans of Flat Creek Estate. So is Bobby. And we're very thankful they are part of the Owen Texas football family.
Good stuff. All right. If you're just now joining us, we are waiting on the decisions of a couple of young men that are going to announce here momentarily. Dijon Lee, defensive back out of the state of California. He is expected to go to Alabama. Texas expects him to go to Alabama. And that's what we're hearing right now. He should announce in the next 5 to 10 minutes. And then Josiah Sharma, a defensive lineman that Texas has been tracking for 6+ months, really, Jerry. He, as of last night, had told a couple of different teams that he was headed to Texas today.
And people around the Folsom program.
Yeah, and people around the Folsom program. But today, things have changed, and it sounds like the Oregon Ducks and Brother Phil – maybe or Father Phil, whatever you want to call him,
yeah. Uncle Phil,
may be in play here for Oregon. And Josiah Sharma, the big 6'4", 320-pound defensive tackle that Steve Sarkisian and his group of coaches have made a priority for the Longhorns.
We'll see on that. One thing I'll say is Texas hasn't given up. As an hour ago, I was told it will be Oregon, but I wait for these kids to announce. Texas has been in communication with the Sharma camp. Could that change anything? I don't know, because I think a couple of schools recruiting him were absolutely a little surprised this morning.
Good stuff.
Hey, all right, now, hey, a couple things coming up here.
Recruit to the whistle. Recruit to the whistle,
baby. Slick Rick. Slick Rick's trying to make you feel better. Love everything you all do. How can I get an On Texas Football polo? We're working on that. Jerry, how big can you smile if DK Moore, DeCorian Moore, is a silent commit? Look at Jerry. He's trying not to smile. Look.
I will say this for DeCorian. I think he'll decide before August. I'll say that. I think it's going to be a July announcement.
Interesting. All right, Juan Garza here, guys, has another one for us. Looks like Texas is going to strike out on both today. Seems possible right now based on what intel we're getting. Seems like it's going to happen a lot for Texas with NIL in play. I guess Texas is not going that high. Here's a question for you guys. Texas clearly has as much NIL as anybody else. I know that for a fact. How they allot it could be different. Is that part of the issue here? Like, if you're a GM of a NFL program, you have to put so much to the quarterback, so much to this position, you know, XYZ, not including the guys already on your roster. So, you know, is that perhaps what's at play here a little bit too, Jerry or Rod? What do y'all think?
Yeah, I like that it your comparison, right, almost works as a salary cap. I don't know what the NIL – you know, resources are for Texas. We know they're robust, but I don't know what the actual number is, but I'm sure there is a number, kind of based on how they work with the Texas One Fund and stuff like that. So I agree. I think that's with your GM, that is your salary cap. And yeah, you have to spend accordingly. And it also, you know, Texas, maybe some of the stuff standing on principle, you start, going to the highest bidder every time and getting into those types of negotiations. That's why I think some guys are cool with just getting in the range. It's like, hey, I really want to go to Texas, but coach, I can't pass up this deal, wherever, whatever the dollar figure may be or whatever it is. So you need Texas just to get in a range, so you're not taking too big of a loss. And so some of that may be going on where Texas standing on principle that they're not necessarily going to outbid in negotiations every time. For everyone. They don't want to get that reputation. It's like, hey, do you want to be at Texas or you want to just go to the highest bidder? So there could be some of that too. And Sark has said that. He has talked about how, hey, that's kind of part of the culture, that they're not NIL first every time. It's definitely something that we know Texas is a leader in that space. So I'm not exactly sure how it works. I'm with you, Bobby. I don't know if it's player to player or if it's allocation of resources to a position. And do they, like the NFL, and this is a premium position. So defensive ends and left tackles and wide receivers now allocate more resources than, I don't know, a linebacker or safety or whatever it may be.
I can say this. It's a great point by Rod. Based on what I know, after quarterback, D-line is the most coveted, fought-for position in recruiting right now, nationally. And I'm not even sure it's close.
Wow.
Especially on those top-tier national guys. Because there's a lot of – I mean, there aren't many DeCorian Moores, but there's a lot of receiver talent around the country that's really good.
Yep.
Now, how many D-linemen are there that are seen as really, really good? There's not as many at that position. Especially now, Oregon is recruiting like an SEC team, level team. That position is more coveted than anything outside of quarterback in the Southeast.
I agree with that.
All right, Juan Garza, Jerry has another one here. Remember, this did happen with Kelvin Banks and Cam Williams with what Oregon did. And look, I have no qualms with mentioning that. The only difference is that also the reason they opened up their recruitment again in some form or fashion is that Mario Cristobal left Oregon and went to Miami. I think that Kelvin Banks may have eventually flipped in that scenario because he had his mom, as many people know, has had some health issues. And so I think that ultimately he probably could have stayed closer to home. Even if Cristobal hadn't left, but Cam Williams was going to go to Oregon, Jerry.
Right.
And so, look, I mean, it can happen. We all know it can happen. But Sharma is different than Kelvin Banks. Sharma's in Folsom, California. He's closer to Oregon than he is to Austin, Texas. So a little bit of difference there that people need to take a.
So the moral of the story is hope that Florida hires Dan Lanning.
Yeah. And guess what? It may happen. I was told that that's one of the schools that he would want.
Yeah.
Did you hear the same thing? Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Same here. That's a big question. All right. Let's go and get ready for some chat. We'll be going back and forth to the chat as well. I want to circle back to you, Rod. And it was interesting what you asked CJ Vogel a minute ago about how Quinn looked physically, and then not only what CJ had to say, but also Jerry. What do me and Jerry talk about it all the time and reference your comment about CJ Baxter putting on armor.
Yeah.
And we talk, Jerry and I have literally, I think we've thrown that out four or five times in the last couple months when you said that. It's harder for guys like Quinn Ewers to do that, though, right? Because he's not naturally – like, Cedric Baxter's got a body ready to put armor on.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I think Quinn Ewers maybe is now getting to that point. Like, his freshman year to his sophomore year, he was just getting himself in shape. Not necessarily
– Keyshawn Lee just announced for Alabama, by the way, as expected.
Okay, yep, as expected. A defensive back out of Mission Viejo committed there. Hey, Jerry, but what I was talking about here, Rod, is this. Okay, so was Quinn even a year behind, not only because of him leaving high school a year early, but also then transferring? So he was a year behind on getting his armor on a little bit, in my opinion. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a good point, too. And it's all about, for Quinn, in terms of being able to safeguard himself from injuries, where do you put that weight on where it's not restricting your throwing motion or your mechanics, where it's not disturbing any of that? Where can you put that armor on? It also will safeguard you at that padding. And that's part of the data science. We were talking to a data scientist over there in Texas, and it's fascinating because this is the problems that they're presented with. Like, okay, he needs to put on mass. Where do we put the mass on where it's going to help him be more durable, but we don't want to mess with the throwing motion. We don't want to mess with any of the mechanics and how, so where do we pack on the weight specifically? It's fascinating in terms of what they're doing. So that I think for him will be the challenge. And you're right. That is a year that you're behind if you don't have a department that is focused on you and has a plan for you And when you're just transferring from one year to the next with one school, that's a little bit tough to do. Texas actually has an individual plan for every player based on the report that's given to them by the coaches, about what they need to work on, and working with these trainers and strength and conditioning coaches about where they need to put on weight and how much weight they need to gain, how much mass, how much strength they need to gain, how much speed. And then they all kind of work together in unison and make sure that the guys are kind of keeping up with hitting all the different, you know, benchmarks to make sure they accomplish their goal. And for Quinn, I can tell you that's definitely something that's got to be, I imagine, top priority for them. Because one thing, knock on wood, you know, I think that's been something with Quinn, is that maybe his body's been a bit frail, and that some of those hits and some of the wear and tear is actually accumulated over the season. That's why he's never made it through a season. So this is going to be a big test for him. As NFL scouts, that might be the number one thing they want to see from Quinn. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't see you make it through an entire season. The reason Tua can't get paid right now, what he wants to get paid, even though he had a good season, is because everybody keeps reflecting on, well, what about when you couldn't, you know, safeguard yourself against injury? What about when you weren't durable enough to last through 17 games? One day it's going to be 18. And that's what they're looking at. Like, I mean, we're playing 17 games now, maybe 18. Getting to the playoffs, we're going to play another two or three if we're going all the way to the Super Bowl. I need you to be available as a quarterback for those games. And for Quinn, that's a big question mark.
All right, got a question here from Tyler Rollo. And, Jerry, you take this one. If no Josiah Sharma, who is next in line, who should we be worried at defensive tackle in the future? What are your thoughts?
Well, it puts more pressure on Myron Charles and Brandon Brown if Sharma announces for Oregon. DJ Sanders, I think, looks good for Texas over Michigan, but we'll see what happens, right? Both those guys are July decision, or all three of those, because Brandon Brown still has to tell people either I'm sticking with Texas or I'm flipping the LSU. Because as of right now, it's one of those two. But we'll see what happens. But I think that puts more pressure to win these last three battles for sure, because the number's gone down. Kevin went to FSU. If Sharma goes to Oregon, you only brought in five for official visits. You're down to it with the number. Now, I'll say this. Somebody's asking if Sharma already announced. No, in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So I think the thing to remember is this. There's going to be a couple of guys pop up for Texas senior year too. Now, even if Sharma announces for Oregon in 25 minutes, even if Texas kept Brown and Brown, got Myron Charles, and got DJ Sanders, they're still looking for a fourth guy in the class. So somebody else is going to come pop up onto this board senior year that's probably committed elsewhere, maybe a casualty of the coaching carousel at some point. But just like last year with Xavier Filsimi, Texas will keep looking. They'll recruit through the whistle. But it does put more pressure on them, Bobby, here with these last three guys.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, it's hard. This is what we talk about when we talk about it being big boy recruiting. This is exactly what you mean. You got to put your big boy pants on when this is going to happen. You're recruiting national players. And again, I don't know, what is he even ranked, Jerry? Like, is he a top 250 player in the country? I mean, if this is the case, it looks like he's getting recruited as a top 25 to top 50 player in the country. So This is one of those situations where I think People look at recruiting guys and go, oh, he's not rated that high. Yeah, I think college coaches' boards might be a little different.
Yeah. To me, Josiah Sharma is a top 150 prospect in the country. I think Brandon Brown's the same. I think Myron Charles is the same. I think DJ Sanders, in that four-star category, just needs he's got the long arms, the big frame, the good feet, just needs some time, a little bit more time maybe. I think Sharma – doesn't matter where he goes. My opinion of that guy doesn't change as a prospect, as a player. He has a chance to be a Sean Rogers level player to me. If he goes out and maximizes ability, that's a top 100 level kid in the country.
Got it. Jerry, Roger G here says, saw Caleb Edwards, the big tight end out of California, get predicted to Bama. Is Texas looking really good for Townsend then? First of all, yeah, I mean, Texas did not prioritize Caleb Edwards. They prioritized Nick Townsend, young man out of Spring, Dakaney. Let me take this one, Jerry, if you don't mind. C.J. Vogel, before he went to the Manning Passing Academy over on I-10, by the way, he stopped off at Dakaney High, at Spring Dakaney High School to check in on not only Nick Townsend, but also Tanook Hines, the wide receiver that Texas brought in for a visit. Some of those interviews, or at least parts of them, are up on TexasFootball.com right now and on Texas Football Video if you want to listen to them. Yes, Texas is looking good for Nick Townsend, but we have to wait. It's going to be July 10th, I believe. I think that's accurate, when he announces his decision. But Texas has prioritized Townsend over Caleb Edwards, for example, there. All right, a couple other questions and comments coming forward. But before we go there, Rod, I got a favor to ask. Tell folks a little bit about our friends over at South Point Dodge, Walker and Scott Stark, friends of On Texas Football.
Yes, sir. And Texas football fans, for you, if you're looking to score an easy extra point this season, you can get to the point with our friends over at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, folks. That's a lot of vehicles, including a great selection of the Ram 1500s, those Ram 2500s, and even the 3500s. Whatever your truck needs, South Point Dodge is the one-stop shop for you. So score big today at South Point Dodge. You can go see them in person off of I-35 in South Austin, or you can visit them online today at southpointdodge.com. That's southpointdodge.com. South Point Dodge is Austin's automotive everything. So go check them out today in South Austin off I-35, or go visit them at southpointdodge.com. Thank you very much to the fine folks at South Point Dodge for sponsoring the Friday live stream.
Hook 'em, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate it a lot. All right, Mike G, Jerry, I do want you to take this one, and I want Rod to chime in a little bit. If it's about making smart decisions for the locker room culture, I'm all for not outbidding. I think there's a level there of not outbidding versus bidding the same, right? I mean, this is, I don't think Texas necessarily outbid Alabama, frankly, or Oregon in the first place. I think Oregon came back and went over the top is what happened. To Rod's point earlier, I mean, I don't know the numbers involved here, but say it was, you know, 100,000 and all of a sudden Oregon, you know, goes 200. And I think those numbers are low, by the way. I'm not suggesting they're wrong. Yeah. But my point being is at that point, I agree with Rod that it would be almost the kid has to look at that. If it's a categorical difference in dollars, you have to. I mean, that's I don't know that that's indicative of a poor culture fit, as in, man, sometimes you got to make a decision that's best for your family long term.
Exactly. And now, guys, you have a transfer portal. Remember, it was a little different if you didn't. Think about these guys. I don't know how these deals work either. I don't know if these guys are signing actual contracts and stuff like that. That's something I think we'll find out later on. But, I mean, These guys are getting deals to go to schools, and then hell, like 50% of them end up transferring and leaving, and at times getting another NIL opportunity via the transfer portal again because of the free market. So even if you do take the initial offer and maybe that's your top priority at the time, it doesn't mean you can't always, you know, marry for love the second time. Like Mac Brown, you marry for money the first time, marry for love the second time. So yeah, I think maybe that's what you're looking at in the transfer portal too, with some of these guys. Like, hey, I'm gonna get the money the first time. The second time, you know what? Then I'll go with trying to win titles and do what's best for, you know, me as a player overall.
All right, Jerry, this one's for you. From OK Cool Hook'em, depending on the portal for defensive tackles is not a good long-term strategy. It looks like Texas is doing a little bit of that this year. They had to, forced to, with three transfer portal guys, adding only Alex January and Melvin Hills. They don't want to, I think, but if you have to, you have to. I mean, what does the situation call for here? You agree not depending on the defensive tackles long term in the portal, right?
Yeah, you're not. I mean, look. The first round guys that are first round talents. Colleges aren't letting those guys jump in the portal. All the Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant talk, and what we said, hey, let's hold on. Let's just see if these guys jump in the portal. There were guarantees. These schools aren't letting those guys jump in the portal. They're too valuable at that position. If somebody like a Georgia let Bear Alexander walk. Now, Georgia has four Bear Alexanders. But Bear, they wouldn't have let Bear Alexander walk if he was a top 10 pick, if they thought he was a top 10 pick. Now, what we were talking about earlier with the culture part of that too, I think this is the interesting piece to that. So if you recruit a kid and he's not just about NIL, right? And you have all the discussions about football, NIL is a part of it. You have discussions with football and NIL, and you go all in that recruitment and somebody just comes over the top at the end of the day and beats you for that kid. That doesn't mean that kid wasn't a culture fit, to your point. Where I think this happened in the last cycle with one kid in particular. No NIL is not a factor. No NIL is not a factor. No NIL is not a factor. A week before his decision said, and that's all it was about. Those are the guys you don't worry about missing on.
Yeah.
That there's the difference in it. If somebody and if somebody's circle says it's not about NIL, it's not about NIL, then in the 11th hour says, oh, what's the NIL? Because that's what is going to make this decision. And then you just let that kid go and you don't worry about it because he wasn't really in this. Yep. He wasn't up front with you about what the reason, what was big and major in his recruitment. But if you're on a kid and you get him to campus multiple times and you have all those discussions, and then at the end, somebody just comes over the top and beats you. I mean, now in the chat, they're like, that can't happen because it's the most valued position. I get what they're saying. But that's, I think, the difference in the discussion.
All right. This is from Jack Lala. We can talk about NIL, but can't Uncle Phil offer him a personal contract at Oregon? Yes, he can. But I don't know. So I don't think that he does that, though, and for large part because something that someone else mentioned elsewhere. He's not – I mean, he makes a lot of money. He makes more money off of Texas than he does Oregon. He makes more money off of Ohio State than he does Oregon. He makes more money off of Michigan than he does Oregon. So he's not going to get personally involved like that. He will, as an alum, donate to a I think it's called Division Street, which is their NIL collective. And I'm sure he is heavy into it, but he's not going to get personally involved. That for him doesn't make sense for his business. And he's a billionaire for a reason. They typically don't get ruled by their emotions, typically, at least.
Damn right.
All right, hey, I want to reset a little bit. Thank you for joining us. We got over 700 folks here on YouTube, over 2,000 on Twitter listening to us currently. We'll have more on our podcast. Feel free to download that app as well. We're on Apple, Spotify, as well as other places you get your podcast. We are here. It's about 1:50 on Friday afternoon. Longhorns waiting on the decision of Josiah Sharma, the defensive tackle out of Folsom, California. Right now, he went to bed last night after telling multiple teams that he was headed to the University of Texas. His recruitment appeared buttoned up. Then today, I think some phone calls were made after he told those teams it was buttoned up. And Oregon right now looks like it could very well be the pick. We are going to wait here. It'll happen in the next 10 to 15 minutes or so. And we're definitely going to be here with you the whole way through. All right. This brings me to the next question for you guys. And Jerry and Rod, is there anyone in this class that is a must get, like an Arch Manning or a Colin Simmons? And then, Rod, after Jerry answers that, I want you to think back to the recruiting classes you were a part of or mm-hmm. that Saul came in who had those must get guys in them. Jerry, who in this class is the must get? First,
I think it's DeCorian Moore because he's the number one player in the state, the number one receiver in America at Duncanville, and he is a special prospect at that position. So I think in-state, he's a guy. I've always said number two in this class is Brandon Brown because he's a premium position D lineman, a disruptive force, and if he doesn't go to Texas, he's going to go to LSU, and this chat will be absolutely off the chain if that happens. So – he's been my number two the whole way, but I think DK Moore is the number one. I want Rod to talk about this because I think sometimes fans, when I say must get recruits, it's like, there's no must get recruits. It's the University of Texas. That's BS. There are. And you know why there are, Rod? Because coaches have told you go recruit the must get guys before.
Yeah, Derek Johnson was my must-get recruit that I had. And Mac kind of pulled me to the side. He hadn't done that before. And was like, hey, you know, how's it going? How you feeling? I was like, oh, I'm good, coach. I'm excited about the weekend. He's like, kid Derek Johnson, we're bringing in. We gotta have him. And I'm like, okay, yeah. He's like, no. If we want to win a national title, these are the kind of players that we got to have on our roster now. He's like, he's that good. And I say, like, all right, he's like, oh, if you're distracted or you got something going on, just let us know. You got some, you know, you got some social obligations. Hey, let us know if you can't fully focus on the weekend, and then we'll put somebody else on. And I was like, coach, as long as you don't ask me how I get it done, I will get it done. And Mac's like, I won't ask you any questions if you get it done. I was like, I'll get it done. And I let the crew know, the Wood, Alex Sims, and my boy, you know, Bo Skies, and all those guys know, Montrell Flowers. I let the crew know, because that's kind of the crew that we kicked it with. It was like, hey, man, he's the guy. We got to get him. They got to make sure that he has a great time, and then we sit him down after and talk about, hey, man, you're going to be a great player. We already know that. We need you to be a great player here at the University of Texas, because you're going to take us where we need to go, and we're going to help you get there too. And done deal. I still brag about Derek Johnson. And so that was one of those times where Mac kind of pulled me to the side and said, hey, you need to close. And I have no problem closing, baby. That was one of my best closing jobs ever. That and wifey.
And here's the thing. How good was Derek Johnson? He may be an NFL Hall of Famer.
Yep. Mac was right about that one.
And in Rod's class, nothing against Major Applewhite, Chris Sims was a must-get recruit. There was two for Mac.
That was two of them. It was two of them in that class, because locally it was Corey Redding, regionally, just here down in Texas. Nationally, of course, Chris Sims had the big name, celebrity, you know, quarterback, celebrity son, that kind of thing. And I knew before everybody else, because Coach Brew kept telling me that Sims' commitment to Tennessee – That wasn't going to last. So talking about recruiting to the whistle, Jerry, Tim Brewster recruited to the whistle. Because he was telling me, even at the time, he's like, oh, don't worry about that. Hey, Rod B, he coming to Texas.
Can you imagine being Tim Brewster, Bobby, in that scenario? And Rod, Phil Sims wants his son at Tennessee. His son commits to Tennessee on live TV in New York, back before the big announcements were live TV announcements. That's how big Chris was. But yet Brewster's still working.
Yeah.
Behind Sims back to get him to Texas.
Confidently, too. Confidently. Yes. Probably telling Mac, I got him, Mac. Don't worry about it. I got him. And like, that was some swag right there. The Ric Flair recruiting, I call him.
I've got to be honest with you. I think I knew that Chris Sims committed to Texas before anybody publicly in the media.
Wow.
This is back when at the very outset of Rivals.com. We took the top 22 players in the country, top 11 offense and defensive players to the Hula Bowl in Maui. And I'm literally just finished with the Hula Bowl and sent all the players to the airport, right? And me and two guys went to Bubba Gump Shrimp Company in Maui. I'm sitting there literally close to having my feet in the water, and I'm like three beers in. And I get a phone call from someone that has been named in this show in the last 5 minutes. Bobby B, you need a call. We got big news up in New Jersey. I go, is it done? It's done. And I literally left Maui, Hawaii, and took the red eye back. You take that late night flight. And I got the news out, and by that morning when I landed, okay, this is back before the internet was huge or any of this other. Yeah. I mean, it was happening, but it wasn't like it is today. Before I landed, and you did have a cell phone, I had like 60 voice messages. Not 60 texts, 60 voice messages. And some of them were from certain schools are like, what the hell are you reporting? You know, are you serious? Yeah. You know, he won't answer my call. I'm like, you know, what do you want me to say? That was my Chris Sims story. You may have known as a player, But I broke that commitment, and it was.
I never heard that. Man.
Yeah.
Man.
Can you imagine being Chris Sims and going to your dad? I know you won 2 Super Bowls. I know you want me at Tennessee, but it's not. I'm not going there.
Yeah, that's and trust me, Phil is not a man you want to disappoint, man. Phil's so that was a tough conversation for Sims, but it was good though because that's kind of, I think for him, that was a big moment for him to make his own decision as a man. And it's really kind of charted his path. And that's why, ultimately, we need to bring Sims back at one point. Honor him. I don't know, Hall of Honor, whatever it is. They should bring him back. He's done enough to be honored in that way, I think. So.
Yeah. Well, he's won a lot of games, University of Texas. All right. Hey, this is I have not seen this name on the chat, but he may be becoming one of my more favorite posters in a quick fashion. Okay, cool. Hook them. Recruiting is hard. Shades of Tom Herman.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Hey, that is recruiting through the whistle and recruiting is hard or winning is hard, however you want to put it, for Tom Herman, 2 different categories. We're waiting right now for Josiah Sharma, the defensive tackle out of Folsom, California, to make his announcement, trying to figure out exactly which way that's going to go. We have heard that Texas is continuing to make contact, even though it sounds like Oregon may have gone one up on the University of Texas. We will wait and see here in the next 10 to 15 minutes and pass that news along to you immediately at this point. All right, a couple other questions we have here that we can talk about and whatnot. Let's take one that's team-oriented, just to kind of bide the time here a little bit, from Juwan Akui. Who are projected offensive linemen for Arch next year? Wow. Now, next year, if DJ and Cam decide to leave, that would also mean Jake Majors is gone, as well as Kelvin Banks. So you'd probably lose 4 of 5 starters.
All 5.
Yeah. Well, Hayden Connor could potentially come back. Even with that extra year, Jerry, right? So my question to you guys is, say Hayden Connor does leave and you're replacing all 5. What does that 5 look like? Jerry, Rod, you want to hazard a guess?
Well, I'll say what it will look like the first practice or two of this year or this August. Goosby left tackle. Neto probably left guard. Connor Robertson center. Cole Hudson probably right guard. Brandon Baker right tackle.
Yeah.
But that's what I was doing. Does Daniel Cruz push at center? Does one of the young kids come in and push at one of the guards? Does Connor Stroh make a big jump? So there's some things at play there. But I think those would be your 5 right now if you said, all right, try out the second team unit in early to mid-August. I think that's probably what you're looking at.
I like that. Yeah. Like Baker on that too.
I like Baker on air. I think Chapman has got to be in there somewhere. You mentioned Goosby.
Yeah.
You mentioned Goosby. Nato is going to be in there. Hudson. I think Hudson and Nato are probably the 2 that I say are definites. That would be my – and maybe I'm wrong, but if all 5 of those –
That's a great point on Chapman. I should have brought up Chapman. Chapman's had a hell of a spring, hell of a summer behind the scenes.
Yeah. I just feel like Hudson and Nato, they're going to want some adults in the room, and they're going to be the older crew to mix in with the Goosebies and the Bakers, and then whoever wins out at center. I mean, do you think right now, a year from now, is it Daniel Cruz, Jerry, or is it Connor Robertson? You know, that's a good battle. Robertson played really well against OU when called upon, but Cruz, frankly, is a little bit of a freak recruit, to be fair.
The Sharma announcement's beginning, so I'll keep everybody updated while you guys discuss this.
Oh, nice. I don't know what we're going to be able to discuss other than wait for this guy to make a decision. We've been waiting for him for a long time. It's been a priority recruit for the University of Texas. That doesn't mean the Longhorns are going to prevail here, but we shall see exactly what happens. And as somebody says here in the chat, Oregon could stumble this year. So we'll wait and see what that goes. All right. here's something from Ed Blake. I don't blame Texas for setting limits, but bro, it's frustrating seeing these top players, especially at positions of need, go to other teams. What's interesting to me, Oregon has actually been the one team that's kind of had Texas's number a little bit on a couple of these guys. Not only if it were to happen with Josiah Sharma, but don't forget about Jabbar Muhammad, the cornerback out of Washington, as well as Jamari Caldwell, the defensive lineman out of Houston, University of Houston, that was set to go to Texas potentially. He committed to Houston in January of this year. So there's Oregon has a little bit something. They're pushing the envelope a little bit. And maybe that's what they need to do because their state does not produce the amount of talent that the state of Texas does. Agreed. But, you know, more power to them. I think they're doing exactly what they can to win as well. So we'll have to wait and see how that.
So here's the thing, Bobby. Texas has been had a benefit of Mario Cristobal moving on. Jamari Caldwell was head of the Texas until Bo left. That was a done deal. Then when Bo went to LSU, Jamari Caldwell ended up at Oregon. So both teams have been a benefactor of a coach moving on in a different way once at least.
Yeah, good point.
Jerry, talk a little bit about offensive line recruiting for the Longhorns because I got some Michael Fasusi questions. Texas really likes Lamont Rogers at tackle as well. Yeah. Young man out of the Metroplex too. And also Nick Brooks. And then you have Michael Fasusi. Those are the three remaining guys right now for Texas at offensive tackle. Where does everything sit with those three guys right now?
I think Lamont Rogers is a bit of a wild card of a recruitment. He's visited Missouri, visited A&M, visited Texas, visited Oklahoma, and visited Florida State. The interesting piece of his recruitment is his dad lives in Vicksburg, Mississippi. His mom's in Mesquite, obviously, where Lamont lives. So the mom hadn't made all the visits. The dad hadn't made all the visits. So the colleges aren't even quite sure where this thing stands at times because there hadn't been consistencies with the official visits. But I think academics are important to the mom. I think Lamont really likes the offensive line coach at Missouri. But I think it'll be interesting at the end of the day. As Sharma is announcing his decision here, let's get through this. He's about to announce his decision. But it'll be interesting to see what Lamont does. And I think Lamont comes off the board before Fasusi and Nick Brooks. I think Nick Brooks could go into September. I think there's a date he has in mind. I think Fasusi's late August, a date he has in mind. I think Fasusi likes some of the aspects of the Oklahoma visit more than the Texas visit. He likes Kyle Flood's development. And Josiah Sharma just announced for Oregon, as expected.
There he is, yep. All right.
Woo! I think with Nick Brooks, I think Texas and Georgia are duking it out, and I think Texas has been a pretty good spot here in June. We'll see how it ends.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one for the Longhorns, guys, to lose out to the Oregon Ducks. One, a guy that just last night had told a couple different teams that he was headed to the Longhorns, and not just Texas, but other schools. And I think that may have precipitated the situation today where Oregon comes back in and goes over the top. Big one for Oregon, 6'4", 320-pound defensive tackle out of Folsom, California, says he's going to Oregon at this point in time.
Love him as a player. Love him as a prospect. I think he's got big, big-time ability.
Hey, Jerry, this brings out a question. Got to ask. Carolyn Jacobson's, who's going to come in at the 11th hour to outbid Texas for Myron Charles and or Brandon Brown or DJ Edwards? Miami would be my guess. What do you think on Myron Charles?
In that recruitment, yeah. It would be a Miami. But I think Texas, FSU, top two. That's been clear for a while. It would be Miami would be your jump team at the end of the day, and that's supposed to happen mid-July, maybe second week in July. So we'll see. Brandon Brown, I think, is going to Texas or LSU. It would be barring a major change there. I think he'll go to one of those two. We'll see what happens, though. This is the gird up your loins NIL era.
Wow, it really is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's one of those that you gotta be aware of. The NIL situation is realistic. So Dijon Lee commits to Alabama, the defensive back out of Southern California. Josiah Sharma out of Northern California commits to Oregon. That's the defensive lineman. Texas really identified and wanted badly, but he is headed elsewhere for his college, at least at this point. At least at this point. To Jerry's point and others, Texas is going to recruit through the whistle.
I want to say this. So obviously when kids commit, it's they have their reasons. And Josiah Sharma said closer to home. That wasn't the factor in this. The mom had talked to Texas about moving to Arlington area, DFW area if he goes to Texas. It talked about moving to Birmingham if he goes to Alabama. She's gonna go wherever if he would have gone to one of those two schools, she was gonna go. Wow. So it wasn't close to home. Mom was gonna be close to her son.
There you go. You can afford it these days. You can afford to these days.
You can afford to these days, Rod.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you really can. You can afford to do that these days. Back in the day, you couldn't afford to do that. Now you actually can. It's awesome.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And look, Texas has to find the ones that are right for them. Maybe this one just wasn't the right fit. They've got to go back and get out after Brandon Brown, after Myron Charles, and after DJ Edwards as well. Those three guys now, what's left on the board, at least at this point in time, for Texas at defensive tackle. Was he a silent commit to Texas, no. Jerry? No.
Because he was not a high. The colleges weren't told he was going to Texas until last night, and obviously that changed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen here. All right, guys, I think that's going to do it for this afternoon's live stream. We've got CJ Vogel coming back. He is going to be back later today. He's got exclusive video of Quinn Ewers working out, as well as a 5-10 minute interview with Quinn Ewers. Then tomorrow he's got Arch Manning and video of him, as well as what his uncle Peyton and Father Cooper have to say about him. So it's good stuff. Tomorrow morning I have a conversation lined up with UT President Jay Hartzell, as nice. Well as Chairman of the Board of Regents Kevin Eltife. So we'll have you guys that here on Texas football in the morning. Stay with us throughout the weekend. We do think that there could be some movement again in recruiting as well. Also, check us out on ontexasfootball.com. For Rod, for Jerry, and for our sponsors, Flat Creek Estate Winery, as well as our friends over at Southpoint. This has been the Longhorn Live Stream Friday afternoons. You guys have a good one. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.